everybody, welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. This is Gabe Gutierrez, and I'm joined as always by Jason Treehouse Spoolstra. Jason, what's up, man?
I'm good. Although I never had a treehouse growing up. Did you?
I always wanted one. No, I didn't have one, but I always wanted one.
Of course. Every kid wanted one. I remember a friend of mine, I say a friend, he was more of an acquaintance when I was a kid. He was like a friend of a friend, and he was all the way down my street. And his family, he came from a military family. And so his dad built him a treehouse. And I remember the like one time I went over there to play, and that was his fort. And we all had to be different army ranks. And I forgot what I was. I was probably like private. He's like, I'm the general and you're the private.
Well, sure. It's his tree.
All right. So, yeah, that's about the extent of my tree house days.
For a tree house, you kind of have to have just the right tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not just any tree that can be a tree house. So that's already the first barrier to entry. But then once you clear that hurdle, you then need parents who are interested enough to help make this happen.
Uh-huh.
I failed on both of those counts growing up.
Sorry to hear that. Me too. And especially, we only had two trees growing up in our, and it was in the front yard. So not much use of having a tree house in the front yard.
No.
So like you said, location, location, location.
Absolutely. Speaking of location.
Yes.
The location we find ourselves in is chapter 15 of part 5 of Introduction to the Devout Life. General affections that should result from these considerations and conclusion of the exercise. Jason, what stood out to you about chapter 15?
Man, this was a good chapter. I really liked this chapter. What about you?
Yeah, it was good. I really liked the last one a lot. This was good. For me, I didn't vibe with it quite the same way that I did the last one, so that I know that's clouding my vision. But no, overall, I did think it was good.
Okay. I would say, for me, I would put this just a little bit above of last chapter, for me personally. But they're both good.
I think we can agree on that.
And right from the get-go, where we're talking about the tree of life planted by God's hands in the midst of your heart, a tree which my Savior...
We talked about the tree of life sometime earlier this week.
Huh? You know? Yeah, as a matter of fact. 2 days ago, in fact.
Little thing going on here.
And... yeah, the second paragraph where just talking about how, just planting the tree, giving it life, nutrients in the soil and the roots, and how nothing will shake this tree. Nothing will forsake this tree. And I don't know about you, it totally reminded me of Captain America Civil War, where the scene...
Absolutely, 100%.
I knew you were going to say, you're like, I'm so right there with you. No. So in the movie, there's a scene where, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it. There is a kind of a side character, but a main character for Captain America, Peggy Carter, his love interest back in the 1940s, fast forward. So Peggy Carter dies in the current time. Cause you know, she lived her natural life where Captain America was frozen for many decades. Anyways, They're at the funeral, and Peggy Carter's niece gets up and gives a talk. And in the talk, she says this. She talks about how her aunt Peggy Carter says, how did you handle all these problems and everything else? And Peggy Carter said, compromise where you can, but where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, hang on. Let me find it. Oh, shoot. I thought I had the whole quote.
Are you sure this is a Peggy Carter quote and not a Kyrie Irving quote? You wouldn't really know who that is, but that's okay.
Okay, here it is. Compromise where you can, but where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree. Look them in the eye and say, no, you move. And that came flooding back to me reading this about being resolute, having that faith in Christ so deeply rooted that even when the whole world is trying to gaslight you, even when Satan is just banging down and telling you you're wrong, up is down, left is right, cats and dogs living together, a whole pandemonium thing, even when all that, you don't move because you are with Christ and you don't need to go anywhere. You rest in the Lord. So that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, no, that's really strong. That's good. And he builds to that. I feel like that's definitely that second half of that chapter there. But that first half is the affections, right, towards these resolutions and understanding like where they came from and seeing them as just completely and utterly necessary and also lovely, right? Blessed and holy resolutions, if I do but keep you, you will keep me. And then the urging there to live ever then, you resolutions, which have an eternity of your own in God's mercy, live ever in me and may I never forsake you. So that idea there that these resolutions, and again, he's touched on this in previous chapters, but that they were born ultimately in the heart of God. That he knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. And not only did he just like know, hey, there's going to be a person named Jason or Gabe or whatever, right? But he knew us intimately. And in knowing us intimately, knew the perfect resolutions to help us to ultimately be the people that he's created us to be, to be people after his own heart. And so it's these resolutions that are this great gift to us from him, like the tree that's planted. And I just thought that was so beautiful there, just the affection that he's generating here towards acknowledging where these resolutions come from, their importance, and the love that we should have for them.
Yeah, and the first paragraph where he says, rather would I die 1,000 deaths than to suffer any blast of wind to root you up. Neither vanity nor pleasure nor wealth nor sorrow shall ever overthrow my intentions. And that kind of goes back to that, you know, first part of from the movie of like, even when the whole world is telling you to move, because the whole world was telling Jesus to get off that cross.
Sure.
Of course. The whole world was telling Jesus, just, you know, stop doing it. Just, you know, just come down from the cross. Show us that who you are, who you say you are. And he says, no, I will not, because I know what I am called to do. And I will move heaven and earth for you if that needs to happen. And so now, because of that, it is now our duty to emulate that. It is our responsibility and our duty and our resolution, because we know this, and now we're trying to live that out, to do that same thing.
Yeah, I do see that. I see that connection there for sure. I saw that connection even deeper in the second half here, as he's talking about maintaining these good resolutions. Absolutely. Right? And of course, he gives like the basic, like, okay, prayer, sacraments, good works, cut off the occasions of sin, like just all these like very practical steps to maintain it. But then that asking God to give you the strength to fight, to hold on to them, to strengthen them, and to never lose sight of them. So that just that whole imagery there of that, like, very action oriented, dedicate, consecrate, sacrifice, emulate it all to God. Yeah. just again, that okay, these resolutions are huge, they're important, and then what are we going to do? We're going to hang on to them at all costs. We're never going to budge. We're gonna fight for them. We're gonna die for them. We're gonna, you know, let our lives be defined by them because of what they are and where they come from.
But here's the thing: taking that, right, exactly what you just said. But how do we do that? This is what Francis de Sales says. How do we do that? As though you held your heart in your hands, dedicate, consecrate, sacrifice, emulate it to God, vowing never to recall it, but leave it forever in his right hand of majesty. So how do we do this? You hand over your heart. You hand it over because you've been trying to do it your whole life, your way. You've been forcing it your way. I can do it, God. I can do it. And now you've come to the realization, no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to do it? Give it. God is looking at you with his loving eyes and saying, give it to me. Give me it.
And give it to him and don't take it back.
Exactly. And then be resolved to not take it back. While your heart is thus roused and excited, hasten to your spiritual father. Accuse yourself of any faults which you have discovered since you made your first general confession. Ah, so now we're going back to part one, Gabe. We're going all the way back and remembering, hey, remember your general confession you made in the beginning of this journey? Has there been anything since then that you've discovered since that? Okay, that's okay. Run back to your confessor. Confess that.
Yeah, get back to that state of grace. Fight for it. Stay there. Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff, man. It is absolutely good stuff.
And then, of course, the beautiful ending here. After you've done the confession, you have handed your whole life, your heart, your soul to God. You're making this resolution. You've made this commitment, this vow. Where do we unite ourselves? In the Creator and the Savior and the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. That's what it's that about, sense, Gabe. Right? That's what it's all what about. It's about. Mm.
That closeness, right? It makes total sense. That's where we're able to, in the most real way, at least here on earth, unite our hearts to his.
I mean, that's where, like, when you read this and you're striving, well, in my case, struggling to follow Francis de Sales, because this has not been an easy journey. It's been a rewarding journey, but not an easy one. At times, I should say. But it's been rewarding in the sense now when I go to Mass, when I go to adoration, you know, when I go to confession, when I'm in the sacraments, and when I'm in my prayer life, it has changed. It has looked different. Listening, handing it over, just realizing, oh, right, Christ's sacrifice on the cross was uniquely and specifically for me. And it was for all mankind, for all eternity. And it was for me specifically.
Mm-hmm. And also for everybody.
And also it's the...
And also for me, exactly.
And where do we unite ourselves here on earth? In the Eucharist. That one true sacrifice, the unending sacrifice.
Mm. Amen. Good stuff, man.
That's all I got.
It's plenty. It's plenty. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hopefully you think that's plenty too. Let me tell you, this saint is more than plenty. He's good and plenty. This book is some great stuff, and we really appreciate the fact that you've been hanging out with us as we've been going through it each week. We've got just a little bit more left, so we invite you to continue to finish this journey with us, and invite your friends along the way. Until next time, we'll talk to you later. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.